Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
This is where we talk about the science of climate change with NPR meteorologist Paul Hudner. Hi, Paul. Good
morning.
To see you in the studio.
Good morning. Good to be here.
You spotted some news about rising water temperatures in Wisconsin lakes that really caught your attention. I heard you on All Things Considered that day as the news was coming in. Why is this so important?
Well, this is one of those, you know, if I'm a fisher person, why should I care about climate change?
Yeah.
This is one of those really, how does it hit home? And it turns out that even small climate shifts have sort of outsized effects. And we're talking about 2 degrees Fahrenheit here. That's all we're talking about. That's how much Wisconsin lakes have warmed on average in the past 26 years. And so this new study came out from scientists at the USGS, the Geological Survey, and the Wisconsin DNR, that studied over 2,100 lakes in Wisconsin. And what they essentially found was that walleye habitat has declined significantly in just that little 2 degree Fahrenheit rise. And it's forecast to decline about another 50% from 10% of the lakes being ideal, if you will, for walleye reproduction to about 4% by mid-century. So think about it. Minnesota fishing's a $2.5 billion industry with a
B.
Walleye is the number one fish. This has clear economic consequences for Minnesota if this data translates here. And I'm a scientist. As I look at it, my analysis is it probably does translate to lakes like Mille Lacs.
And the, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the time span, again, on which we saw these temperature rises
that's
in the lakes.
That's the last 26 years, according to the study.
That's no time at all.
That's no time, and it's not. Doesn't seem like that much of a rise, right? I mean, 2 degrees. Hey, do you really notice when it's 2 degrees warmer outside? Well, the fish notice it.
If I'm a fish.
Yes. If you're a walleye, you do. And if you're a bass, you love it.
And we'll talk about why that is, too. Let's bring our guest in. Gretchen Hansen is a fishery system ecologist at the Minnesota DNR, and she's the author of the study that we're talking about. We find her this morning in Portland, Oregon. And Gretchen, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Have you always known how sensitive fish like walleyes are to water temperature, or is this the study that really raises the alarm about what this is going to mean for fish populations?
Well, we've always known that fish have clear temperature preferences, and that walleye, for example, we know that they like cooler water temperatures. They're called a cool water fish. But in this study, we were able to really quantify on a large scale how we see walleye reproduction responding to these small increases in temperature.
And what do you see when it comes to reproduction of walleyes?
So we found that natural reproduction of walleye in Wisconsin lakes was much less likely in warmer lakes than in cooler lakes. And then conversely, that largemouth bass were much more likely to reach high densities in those warmer lakes than they were in the cooler lakes.
Can I just one little nitpicky question here? Is it because the walleye just are not reproducing as often, or is it that the eggs don't survive? Do you know why reproduction has decreased?
Yeah, that's not nitpicky, and that's certainly a great question and something we're trying to understand more about. This current study that just came out is purely based on correlations, so we don't understand why. And it's interesting to note that we don't see lakes getting too warm for walleye to survive.
Okay.
We don't project that to happen in the future either. So there's something more complex happening within the food web that they are just not successfully reproducing in the warmer lakes, and we're trying to understand more about why that is.
Gretchen, hey, Paul Hudner here. Thanks for joining us this morning. You know, all lakes, it appears from the study and other sources, are not created equal when it comes to how they react to shifts in climate. Which lakes seem to be more sensitive to these what seem like relatively small increases in water temperature?
Yeah, so we found in the Wisconsin study that the largest lakes in Wisconsin, walleye in those lakes were what we call most resilient to changes in climate. So even when those really large lakes got warmer, walleye tended to do okay in terms of their natural reproduction. So it was the smallest lakes that were most sensitive.
And when we look at Minnesota here, of course, and I know this study is about Wisconsin, so let's be clear about that, but Mille Lacs, of course, has been a big question mark for us. We've seen these walleye numbers declining. Mille Lacs is a big lake, but it's a shallow lake. And I even read in the study that tree cover may matter. Mille Lacs is not real heavily forested in terms of tree cover nearby. Can you draw any insight for how the data that we're seeing in Wisconsin could apply to a lake like Mille Lacs?
Yeah, well, it's hard to apply this study really very well to individual lakes. Mm-hmm. I think some of the value of the study that we did is looking from a broad landscape perspective in terms of percentages of lakes and sort of general shifts in the fish community. And like you said, we did find that the circumstances and the characteristics of individual lakes do influence how walleye respond to climate. And Mille Lacs is a big lake, bigger than most lakes in Wisconsin that support walleye. So it is hard to draw much inference on that particular lake, and especially because Mille Lacs is so unique and has other major systems changes going on with invasive species and things like that.
You know, Paul, we're talking about the science here, and this is kind of what I'm going to suggest is somewhat unscientific, but I thought it might be interesting to hear from some anglers, some
sure.
people that fish in some of these northern lakes in Minnesota and Wisconsin about just what they've observed, you know, what the catches look like, what they see about the water ecology.
Absolutely.
Can we do that? Okay, let's put the number out. If you fish, spend a lot of your free time fishing in some of these northern lakes, maybe in Wisconsin, maybe in Minnesota, what have you observed about the walleye population and maybe these largemouth bass? Maybe you're catching more of mm-hmm. the bass and not the walleye. And what do you see in the ecology of the water? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. And you can tweet me if you fish a lot, you've been up fishing lately in those northern lakes, spent some time in the summer up there. Love to get your view on that. It's at Carrie NPR. One of the things, Gretchen, that I was curious about is, are we potentially heading for a time when we don't see a diversity of fish populations in a single lake, where as temperatures rise, it's a lake basically that's populated by largemouth bass, and that's just not where you're going to find walleye?
Yeah, I don't know if it means that we'll see less diversity in general. And in this study we used, I like to think of largemouth bass as sort of a surrogate for just general warm water species, that we expect conditions to get better in a lot of these lakes for warm water species in general. So that mm-hmm. includes a lot of other fish, like sunfish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we can say that we might see some lakes just having conditions that are better for those warm water species and not so great for cool water species like walleye in certain lakes.
You know, I in the study, Gretchen, I noticed one chart that jumped out at me, and this was not part of the modeling for the future. This was the actual counts in the last 15, 20 years or so. And I noticed the walleye, you know, population crashing and the bass just going through the roof. That's data that's actually occurred, right? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
That's right. Yeah. So over the past 30 or so years that the state of Wisconsin has collected really great data on walleye reproduction and on largemouth bass abundance, we have seen a decline over that time period in the recruitment rate of walleye across the whole state. And when we dig deeper and look at individual lakes, we see most lakes where we have data, walleye recruitment success has been declining. Not all lakes. Some lakes are holding steady and some are doing even better over time. But the majority of lakes, we do see this declining recruitment success. So that kind of motivated this study and a lot of the work that I did in Wisconsin to try to understand what was the cause of those declines and if there's anything that can be done about it.
And you mentioned invasive species. We know zebra mussels are increasingly widespread in Minnesota lakes. And I know, for example, Lake Minnetonka, the water clarity has increased dramatically. Do we have a read on how much this increased water clarity might be affecting, you know, predatory behavior, if you will, below the water surface?
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly a topic of ongoing research that I'm involved in. We know that walleye generally prefer darker water, lower light conditions, and we also know that changes in water clarity can affect how climate influences lakes. So clearer lakes are going to warm up faster in terms of the whole water column temperature than darker lakes. So there are multiple effects that are interacting with each other when you talk about water clarity and climate change working together. And that's the topic of ongoing research.
Heidi says on Twitter, our lake an hour north of Duluth has definitely declined in the walleye. We used to catch walleye all the time. Not anymore. You know, the other thing that occurred to me in going through this study, Gretchen, is it seems like these changes are, as with much of climate change, a certain level of these changes are baked in. I wonder if your study says to policy makers and industry leaders, you know, does it say, and this is what we can do now to diminish the effects of this? You know what I'm asking? Or is the trend that you're measuring in this study, now it's time to figure out how to just live with that, to respond to it?
I don't think we know that for sure yet, because like I said, we don't really understand the mechanism of why is it that as these lakes get warmer, walleye natural reproduction declines? Is it because of, you know, predator-prey interactions? They can't find enough food? What is it? And until we understand that mechanism a little better, I don't know that we'll be able to say, you know, are there some policy steps that can be taken to slow it down or reverse it?
Gretchen, I noticed in the paper, in your tag there, that you were with the Wisconsin DNR. Is it true you're now with the Minnesota DNR? And are we going to start to see some more data on this kind of data with climate change in lakes in Minnesota in the future?
Oh, poor little Minnesota didn't get measured like Wisconsin did.
Yeah, I do work for the Minnesota DNR now. And yeah, I'm involved in a study with some of these same co-authors, as well as other people, where we're looking at water temperatures across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and trying to understand the effects of these same types of water temperature changes on fish communities in Minnesota, as well as Michigan, too.
Gretchen, good to have you here. Thank you very much for taking the time from whatever you're doing out there in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Gretchen.
Gretchen Hansen is a fisheries system ecologist at the Minnesota DNR. As you heard Paul reference, she was at the Wisconsin DNR, and she's the author of the study that we've talked about with the consequences of these changes in temperatures in northern Wisconsin lakes and what that's going to mean for walleye. To come back to Mille Lacs, so it sounds like that may be a lake in the next phase of the research in Minnesota that maybe they'll look at that.
Yeah, and I think it's desperately needed. I mean, there's an entire economy around Mille Lacs that's essentially based on walleye fishing. Yes, there are other species. The bass are doing great. But walleye is sort of king in many Minnesota lakes.
Can you tell me why that is, as somebody who does not fish?
Well, and I do occasionally. I've got a lot of fishing buddies.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not as avid as some of the folks, but walleye is the best tasting fish to a lot of people. I mean, there's nothing like a walleye shore lunch, okay? It's really good stuff. I think walleye's in some ways a little more challenging to catch because they're a little deeper water fish. And they're just a great fish, and they've become very popular. They sort of become Minnesota's signature fish over the years. Some of the purists or bass fishermen might not like to hear that, but I think it does drive a lot of resort activity on Mille Lacs and other lakes across Minnesota. You know, Mille Lacs is referred to as the walleye factory. It used to be referred to that way. So this is a big deal when we start to see a change like this. And folks like me who are watching this from a climate shift perspective are saying, you know, 2 + 2 might equal 4 here. And I think what it's safe to say is that we're just waiting for the data to come in. And I think we're going to find that climate change may indeed be the primary driver of fishery changes in lakes like Mille Lacs.
Paul, briefly, what else caught your eye besides this over the week?
Our planet's about to do something unprecedented in the modern record, Carrie. 3 consecutive warmest years on record globally in the 139 years of data. August just tied July as the hottest month ever recorded globally. That's 11 consecutive warmest months on record globally. So the concern here is that we're doing this now without El Nino, and that maybe this is more of a step increase at this sort of background increase in global temperatures has taken another step forward. Most observers expect next year to be a little bit cooler.
Okay.
Because El Nino will be gone. But it still looks like it could be a top 10 warmest year. So we're still waiting for that cooler than average year that hasn't happened since 1976.
And we could be headed for that 12th consecutive month of warmest all-time temperatures.
We could be. The trend is down a little as La Nina, or at least an Enzo neutral phase, kicks in the Pacific. So hang on, stay tuned. But this year, Gavin Schmidt of NASA says a 99% plus chance this will be the new warmest year on record, and it even blows last year out of the water.
I'll see you next Thursday for the ClimateCast, Paul.
Thanks,
Thank
Carrie.
You.